This is a production of Cornell University.
Good afternoon, everyone. Today is Wednesday, August 15th. It is 12:21 p.m., meeting of the Employee Assembly. And to start off our meeting today, we have a series of guests. But Kathy and Tim here are going to present to us on the alignment change tools, which is part of the Response to Employee Engagement Survey program. So we're going to talk about that. And I hope you guys want to introduce the rest of your team.
So I'm Kathy, and this is Kim, and Kim back there is shaking her head. No, don't
you need to introduce.
So I'll start with the people who aren't with us first. And you guys can help me figure out who I'm missing. John Miner, who's on our team. I'll go with Jamie Washburn. You guys want to, like, why don't you guys say your name?
Jamie Washburn from Research Division.
Kathy Carpenter from Human Ecology.
She's from Student and Academic Services.
Kim Mann, College of Vet Medicine.
Laura Rogers from IMR.
And we are missing
Andy
Barbara Naylor.
Robin Yeager.
So, and Robin Yeager. Oh, Robin Yeager, right. From the Division of Financial Affairs.
And so, Kathy, do you want us to introduce ourselves, or are you good with name tag?
I'm good with name tag.
Okay. No, that's fine.
So what I'm going to do is pass this around. Sorry, I'm interrupting my one. And so we're the Alignment and Change Tool. And there were four committees, you may recall, that were formed as a result of the workload issue. And one was Career Choices. One is our Alignment and Change Tools Committee. One is, what are they calling this? They're looking at job descriptions.
Position evaluation,
and the fourth one is the energy project, which Jim Sheridan is leading, Art leading, and then another committee that Jane has been working on that you may remember is the supervisory feedback, Jane's feedback to supervisors off. So those are all committees that are in progress. In terms of what our group has been working on, I'm now on the purpose to explore workload. If we're looking at redesigning the approach, what is it we need to do? We have developed change tools 3 years ago in 2009. We did that with about the input of about 60 people on campus, and then we narrowed it down to a smaller group of about 20 people who are helping us design change tools. So we're looking at our change tools and what they look like, and even more important, how do we promote them, and how do we get people to use them that haven't been using them. We're benchmarking externally. We are connected with a lot of individuals and throughout other campuses that are using different tools, so we're looking at what are the tools that they're using. We're exploring a process improvement methodology. So I don't know how many of you are familiar with our leading change methodology, where you do strategic planning first, you align the goals of your unit second, you do process improvement third, and you do continuous improvement fourth. Implementation continuous improvement, where we realize, where organization development for faculty and staff realize as we've fallen down as a university is in process improvement. We've been pretty good at strategic planning, you know, and I'm talking not just university level, but within organizations. We've done pretty good at aligning goals, but we've gotten stuck at process improvement, so we're trying to do all the work with all the people we get. with thinking that we had, you know, those extra 400 and something people, or whatever it is, we're down about 1,000 from 2009. So, and then the last one is explore workload management approaches. So I'll talk about a few of those approaches, and then recommend how to integrate management and HR systems into what we're looking at. So what we would like to do with that as a backdrop of what we're exploring is first we would like to hear from you. What feedback are you hearing from employees about workload, or are you feeling yourself? And Kim's going to be capturing some notes. But what feedback are you hearing about workload, or are you feeling yourself? It doesn't matter where it's coming from. What's driving you to feel any pressure or to hear any pressure coming?
So I'll start off. Things that I'm hearing is you've got people in units who are just, you know, slammed with work, just inundated, and just trying to say, okay, I can only handle the crisis that's put in front of me. I'm kind of never getting to do good work,
because I'm just, you know, putting out fires. So, you know, really that kind of, let me check the work that I did, let me make sure I did it right the first time. So there's that. And there's also people in that same unit who don't have enough work to do. So they're kind of just saying, all right, I'm here, and I got to figure out how to fill my day. So you've got people who have too much to do in one day and people who don't have enough. So there's an imbalance, and it creates resentment in offices, you know, people saying, well, how come I'm doing this and how come they're surfing the web? So that's kind of some of the stuff I'm hearing.
Well, some of the new quality purchasing has put a lot of stress on people who don't really want to get into learning how to work through the problems of, that they're having with it, so all of a sudden you're doing a lot more buying for everyone else or other departments. Sort of are coming to you to help fill their needs.
Okay.
And like research associations and so on. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's basically what we hear a lot in Geneva from technicians. They don't get into eShop enough, and so when they do, they're spending way too much time.
It's cumbersome.
Yeah.
I can actually relate to that. I had a job, part of my duties was managing the president's policy, and I would have to do get in certain orders, and I was never in the system, so I wasn't efficient then. I mean, I just wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
What other things?
The other things we're hearing is with the reorganization of certain departments, it just there's gaps that are created. And then some organizations are like, our business didn't change, it still needs to happen, and now who's doing it? And finding that some departments just pick up the slack just because it's work that has to get done. It's services that we're providing to students and the parents, but all of a sudden it fell off of someone else's plate, and so now where does it go? And I think some departments are feeling like they're getting less with having to pick up more duties that weren't normally theirs just because it fell off of someone else's.
So higher level communication at the leadership level about what work is going away and
right, exactly.
Okay. Others? So one of the things that we've looked at is that there's things that are impacting workload at a macro level. So university process, so eShop is a perfect example of that. And there's things that are happening at a micro level within the work group.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at that, what would help you as an employee to address workload issues at the macro level and the micro level? So let me run off a list of, I attribute this list to Kim Ram. It was perfect the day you just like ran this off. So things that are impacting Kim, you alone in your job, are effort certification for grant funding, which is not just a process that's at the best school, but it's all over. SIP, the SIP process, workforce management, and you might have to tell us more about that particular one. Can you expand on
it? It was just a precursor to the budget, and I don't know if our college handles it differently than other units, but we got the workforce information first that had to be verified and make certain that everybody's numbers were correct and we had the appropriate accounts, and then that fed into the budget tool that then went into Kowal. So it just happened over a time period where we were constantly reconciling this tool to this tool, and then that went into a third tool, and then it just seemed to be the most inefficient process I've ever had to deal with in my life. It's very frustrating.
So another one was budget process and year end, because it affects effort certification, space inventory, capital inventory, performance dialogues, the process there. What are processes that you would name that would help you as an employee if we address those, either on a macro level or a micro level? Are there university processes in addition to those that get in your way to being effective and efficient?
So here's something, and I don't know if this is necessarily a process, but something that is really irksome with Kuali. We went to this new string of you know, digits for account numbers, and there are a variety of systems on campus that still can't handle all of the digits that you can use. So you're going through the effort. So a perfect example would be campus store. I can put in something with a sub-account. Campus store can't handle that, so it comes through without a sub-account, so now I have to do a DI.
Manually, exactly.
I have to do a DI to correct it. So now, rather than me just handling this one transaction at one point, I have to go back, I have to search, I have to find it, I have to go and pull the receipt and correlate what it was for, and then I have to do a whole other thing that then hits the business service center because their system hasn't been upgraded. The same with, I think it's custodial might have that issue still. There's a couple places.
A lot of those feeder systems aren't capable of handling the full string.
So in that, instead of a single entry, you need to have a single entry.
Well, and so the whole point of trying to give you the additional accounting string was to make it more effective at the management level,
right,
that you could put these things in appropriate buckets.
But you can't.
But you can't put in the right bucket because the system doesn't accommodate.
Or the org ref ID string can take letters and numbers, and it can take one number or it can take 12. So if you're going through and you're putting in 12 and somebody data enters wrong, there's no mechanism that says, wait a minute, you missed something. So you're getting a lot of incorrections, and we dealt with a lot at year end of just saying, having to figure out where all these mistakes were. It's very inefficient. So that's something.
That's what we're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
What are other ones that they need to work with?
Going back with the eShop, I know, like where I am, I order office supplies for multiple people in the office. Every office supply item you put in, you have to go through and put your account number and the percentage for every line item. It just gets very repetitive. If you have 15 items that you're ordering, you have to do that for every single item when it's the same.
And if there's a lot of different items, then at least in my experience, quality responsiveness is a bit slow. So when it has to refresh after
each
line,
it's
gotten faster, but...
And then you lose it if you don't...
Save it, yes, and then you have to redo it again.
Yep.
It must be a nightmare for IT, too, because you have to bypass a lot of firewalls, and I don't know if that's letting openings in for our communications to be compromised or something like that. You know, is that why I'm getting so many pop-ups and everything on my email? When we're supposed to be fairly secure.
I think other things that we deal with, and there's not as many units on campus who deal with this, but the whole anyone who takes credit cards and PCI compliance, the fact that everyone has to write their own policy on how you're going to handle credit cards, to me seemed really crazy, rather than just a group of people coming together and saying this is the policy and everybody has to follow it. We spent a lot of time, you know, two or three of us in my office, and I'd imagine that happened in multiple offices across campus, and everyone's got their own thing and nobody quite knows, you know, is it right, is it wrong? So.
A personal one that goes along that line is our $500 limit, and I've got to buy pharmaceuticals from Pfizer. And then I'm going through a chain of people who have to be all in a row to contact in order to make those orders happen. So whoever wrote that we can't have any, you know, up to like $5,000 is a little cumbersome, to say the least, especially since we eliminated the blanket orders that we were using.
Yeah.
And I would say, I've heard people say that about Travis.
So instead of being a technician and doing the stuff I'm doing a lot more accounting approaches and meetings with how to fix these problems in order to get the supplies that we need every day.
And speaking of travel, who are just at travel, it's crazy that we have to purchase through AAA, through a travel agent. It would be great if we could use our P cards on Travelocity or Kayak or something. We pay so much more for travel than we would if we were able to go through these other systems. And I'm sure there's probably a reason behind it, but it's very frustrating to tell a faculty member that to bring a guest in, they're going to have to pay $300 more for a flight when they can get it so much cheaper.
Especially with budgetary.
Yeah.
Right. It seems counterproductive.
Right.
And a lot of faculty won't even put their own travel in because it's just a pain for them. And if they do, they don't know who to send it to. You got to put the right person's ID to send it to, and it inevitably bounces back, and then they just hand a pile of paperwork to you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. This is exactly what we want.
The other thing was Quali. I know before we had Quali, we were able, like the meter reading, we were able to put that in through the old eShop or whatever mechanism we were using. I don't even remember now. But we were able to go in there and physically put in what the meter reading was, and then the bill was paid. Check was issued to, like, Xerox or Eastern.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can't do that. I mean, now you have to fill out all these paperwork and go through all these different mechanisms and figure out what the meter reading was and all of this to get it paid. And, I mean, I found to the point where I'm just paying for it on my P card now. But those departments that don't have a P card, it's very difficult. And then what if, like, there was one month I took the chance where our meter reading came in, so my bill was over $500, and then I was scrambling. I'm like, no, don't fill the P card. Don't fill that. You can't do that.
Or if you bill it twice,
I'm really
going to get it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just don't put it either way.
So, mm-hmm. I mean, that's a lot more work that us that we have to do now. Mm-hmm.
I think one other thing in general is I think a lot of employees ask, who is the person in my unit who can say we're going to stop doing a piece of work or we're going to change how we do a piece of work? I mean, I hear all the time, why am I doing this? And everyone says, well, I don't, because you do it because we've always done it.
Right.
We've always done it, and there's no one who's willing, at least from what I'm seeing, there's no one in the unit who's willing to say, we're going to stop doing that piece of work because it makes sense to stop doing it. And if, you know.
Those are the types of things when somebody says, we've always done it that way, screams lean.
Yeah.
Screams process improvement.
Yeah.
A great segue. Mm-hmm. So now we're going to move on. We're looking at possible solutions that we have started to brainstorm. And we've only been meeting since about the 1st of August, really about the 7th of August. But we've had quite a few meetings, and we've done a lot of brainstorming. We've talked to some externals, and we have some more externals to talk with. The first thing we did is we looked at our current change tools. What are they? Are they working? Are they good? And we had a whole set of fresh eyes on the committee looking at them, which says something about the tools themselves in terms of the communication. But we're going to take another look at them next week, because the first thing we heard was they're really good. These are actually really good tools. I know I use them all the time with Teams. I have two or three favorites, and those are the ones I use. So the question I keep raising is, do we need all of them, or is that just overwhelming? The second learning that we're having, both by listening to ourselves and listening to those we're benchmarking with, is what other universities are finding is, no matter what process it is they're trying to teach someone, like using the change tools, using Lean, people don't just gravitate towards using something until they've actually experienced it themselves. So we've heard that now from two universities, and it makes complete sense. And we found the same thing with our change tools. When I work through a process with the change tools with someone, they typically don't call me back to work with them again. They pick up the change tools, they do it themselves. So those are some things that we're finding out about. And we also found that some people are saying, what change tools? So both in terms of training and development, our change tools, you know, we don't have one place to advertise on campus, one portal, in a sense, to advertise things. So how do we get communication out there about what we have available to help people? So that's one thing that we've been looking at. We're also looking at introducing lean process improvement. Remember I said we're falling down in lean. Chris Halliday and I and Elmira Mangum and a few others are involved in the National Consortium for Continuous Improvement in Higher Ed. And over the years, more and more universities have started to use Lean, both universities and the two-year community colleges. So we've been doing a lot of benchmarking with these institutions. And what we're learning is that the organizations people are starting in a couple of different ways. Some are starting within a unit, and it's taken off because of VT has found out about it. We just talked with Miami University in Ohio this morning, and it's taken off because the vice president for finance and something. It would be I found out that it was taking off all over the place. He was finding lots of return on investment. So he then started asking, it would be as if we still had senior VP. So all of those units were reporting to that person. He started realizing that the group that was doing this, which happened to be dining, was really realizing a lot of return on investment. And we heard this morning that just on
figuring out how much lasagna was being consumed when they served lasagna or not consumed. By looking at that process across all their dining halls, they saved $1.4 million by figuring out that process of how they figured out how much lasagna was going to be consumed versus put into the waste stream. So you had, you know, the ingredients that they weren't using plus what they saved on the waste stream. And we also learned that they've been doing it for 2 years and they've saved $4 million in 2 years just by doing lean. And for any lean process that they do, they save a lot of money, and they paid a consultant, I think they said $60,000 for having this consultant come work for them. But the consultant has been teaching them the processes. We have some people here on our committee that are trained in lean, and we have other people who are going to get trained, and we have decided that before the full engagement survey. So we're thinking that might be a real avenue for us. And what lean does is you look at a process a mile wide and an inch deep. So if any of you have heard of Six Sigma, what Six Sigma does, you know, think of a car manufacturer. They look at an issue that you might have a mile deep and an inch wide. So lean just looks at what across that broad spectrum, what are some of the things in the process that you can take out that can make it more efficient and effective. So we also talk about building a culture of Cornellians who understand that changing and improving is our work. Some of the other people that we benchmark with, and I've heard Mary say this herself, Mary Appleman, is that that is our work, that we need to be doing this. I've heard other vice presidents say we need to be doing this. Alumni Affairs and Development talks about a lot about that, that doing this work is our work. Improving our processes is our work. So it's just part of our work in getting that culture. And how do we streamline so that we can really be more effective and more efficient? You know, how many things in what we're doing are causing, you know, taking more time than they would have to. So in talking with a couple of the universities, one was saying that Human Resources Office, they had these processes that they were doing, and it was being done by two groups that had a wall between them. And I understood it to be a hard wall. Did you guys understand it to be a hard wall?
Like a cubicle wall.
Some kind of, yeah, something that you couldn't reach through. So a couple of people, so this is looking at it from a micro level with lean, a couple of people were kind of joking around. You know, if we just remove this wall, cut a hole in this wall, instead of me walking around and stopping and talking to all these people as I walk around, which is also a good thing, but, you know, not if you're doing it multiple times a day or having to, which they were, if we just cut a hole in this wall, I could hand them for you and put them on a desk on your side. So they started that, and they were talking about how much time and such did that would save them. So that's what I mean. It can happen in a work group on a micro level. It can happen on a macro level. And then size the work group at the hours the employees have in a day in order to do excellent work in the hours that they are at work. So another university that we talked to is the University of Washington. And Viella Warren is the senior vice president there, and she has finance and facilities and other groups reporting in through her. And she started lean. She came from a lean background, and she started lean at the University of Washington. And it has taken off so that now the state of Washington is using it, their hospital is using it, it's just taking off all over the place. But what she was talking about is the injustice that we do to people who are trying to be high performers and doing all they can in their jobs, and yet they're given so much work that there's no way they can do a good job at, you know, the job that they were originally assigned. So therefore, you know, we're cheating them by asking them to do shoddy work because there isn't any way with the volume that they have that they can do good work. So what they've used lean for as well is to help people say, you know, get the extras out of the process. So that they can be doing good work all the time. We want to enhance our workload management offerings, and what we're talking about there is we've just started offering what's called Core at Work. Some of you may be familiar with Arbinger and the choice that we offer or getting out of the box, and it expands that concept. But what it helps people do and look at is, how am I a problem to others? How can I help others? You know, how can I help others be successful? So it answers questions around responsibility, influence, and I forget the third one off the top of my head. But what they ask the people to do who are going through the training program is look at how much money would I lose if I'm coming in with an attitude of how do I help versus it's all about me. And our committee has talked about kind of that all about me attitude, you know, it's about me. So that's one. There's five choices that teaches you how to be better with the electronics that we have. There's the overall IT solution that each of us, so many of us on campus, myself included, could get better at the IT tools that I already have on my desk. How could I be more effective? How can we increase the training? Organizations, all the faculty and staff did a needs assessment, and what we found is across campus, we interviewed probably about 120 people. The one of the big things coming out of there was that across campus at all levels, we need IT training. We need to get more efficient at the tools that we have. And there are a few other programs and such like that, Leading at the Speed of Trust, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, the Energy Project that Jim Sheridan's group is working on, and continuing strategic planning, goal alignment, teaching people about project management when it wasn't offered by CIT a few years ago. We just figured out within the last year that CIT isn't going to offer it again. We need to reoffer something in project management so people can do projects effectively. So that's what we're thinking about there. And then integrating Workday and KFS so Cornell can leverage both systems to make the whole more effective. And how do we get groups of people talking to make sure that we're doing that best integration? So those are kind of our initial ideas. Does it have to be anything?
It's really good.
So questions or comments? Are we going in the right direction?
So I have a question. When you talk about sizing the work to fit the hours the employee has, are you also looking at like out of office work? Like, for example, I have a coworker who does finance stuff, and her biggest comment to me is when I have to sit down and essentially balance the books or really look at the accounts, the constant interruptions are it just doesn't make her effective, and she never gets the focus time to do that work. So within kind of the sizing the work, would we also look at, you know, opportunities for employees to have tools to say to their supervisor, you know, it would serve me best if I was able to work from home one day a week.
Flexibility.
And, yes, that's the word I was looking for. You know, and this is the work that I'm going to do at home on Tuesday, so I could have quiet time to do that and not have all the interruptions. And I think, you know, if employees can structure their work that way, I think you'll be able to get that done and be more effective at it and then be in the office the rest of the time and really manage your work better, I think.
That's a great idea.
As long as your management can effectively put out any fires that start with other employer resentment. You know, make it education across the board so that they know what's going on.
So that's more about the culture, right?
Right.
I mean, it truly is more about the culture.
Yes, and Mary always says, you know, that we have to get out of the habit of equating face time with work time. That, you know, you can do things from a different place. And, you know, I think even if I'm at home working from home, there's a chance, if I'm home, someone can pick up the phone and call me if there's a fire or an issue, but someone's less likely to do that if I'm not sitting right there 2 feet from them.
Walking down here, if you get out of the office, you can brainstorm and come up with little things while you're walking,
right.
You know, that you wouldn't have thought of it while you're sitting in the office,
mm-hmm.
you know, being bombarded.
Any other suggestions?
I would suggest putting some focus on the implementation, training, and education around Workday.
Mm-hmm.
This is an enormous project that everybody in the university is going to be involved in at some level, some at a very involved level with the implementation, but everybody with the usage.
And in addition to what the deployment team is doing.
Yeah, well, a lot of, I think, effort and thought should be engaged. I know that the deployment team is doing it, but communication around it, they're very carefully doing it. Because everything I've heard today about workload and imbalances is going to be increased during this break-in period with this great new tool, which is going to really, from what I've seen, advance things tremendously. But there's going to be a break-in period that many of you have gone through if you've been here with even with PeopleSoft, and this is going to be a new opportunity. But it's going to have some challenges. I keep my eye on that ball.
Well, going off of what Alan said there, I'm not very familiar with the whole Workday thing, but I have two colleagues that use what they use HR online for
from what the trainings that they have gone to for Workday, and they've made suggestions to the Workday team, but nothing has happened. That what they use HR Online for now will not be compatible with Workday. That they will not be able to get the information they need out of Workday. So they keep making these, they keep telling this, but nobody's doing anything about it from what they've heard.
So can you email, have them email either Tina or I about that so that we can get that to the right source?
Yes.
I have something to add. Is there anything in place about the Arbinger ideas regarding how you deliver them? Because I have personally read the Arbinger books and the choices and everything that you have said, and at one point I had actually thought it's literally called leadership and self-discipline, and it is about how you can implement little solutions so that it's not all about me, but it's about being result-oriented. And at one point I thought it would be wonderful if everybody in the workplace had an idea of what they were talking of. So is there something in place?
So we use Arbinger and the Hero Track Leadership Program. We train it as part of listening feedback and conflict resolution. That's the model that we use to train that. And we also do it as part of developing facilitation skills, and we'll offer it to work groups across the country. I probably offer it about 10 times a year. So, absolutely, we could offer it publicly as well.
So
but so the core at work includes all of that stuff. So it's responsibility, influence, and then remember it's collaboration. So that's the point that you're getting at. If I'm collaborating with others, how am I saving up? How am I saving time? You know.
Is it possible that if there are a bunch of people interested at Red College, say, we could have the core team come by and
yeah. Absolutely. Anything else? So I know we're over our time. But we appreciate your time. If you have any other ideas, please email anyone.
Kathy, one of the things the EA has been talking about is we'd like to have kind of a series of kind of open forums or things across campus this year. Maybe talking about some of the things that are coming out of the survey and where we are with them. Would you guys be interested if we were to do one centered around this where you can get information out? Would you be interested in partnering with us on that? You know, we would kind of organize and do all that and just ask you to please come and talk.
Absolutely.
Okay, great. And I will let you know.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. So, let's get back here to, we can't approve meeting minutes. We need half. I think we have enough.
Eight. I got
nine.
Yep.
All right.
Nine.
Okay. All right, then let's take a look at the meeting minutes. We have two sets of meeting minutes, one from June 6th and then one from June 20th. So we can look at the June 6th meeting minutes. Does anyone have any comments, questions, changes, additions to those minutes? No? I'd like to make a motion that we approve the minutes. Thank you. All in favor? Great. Thank you. All right. Moving along to the June 20th meeting. This was the meeting that we had at Geneva. There's only a couple of us here who were there. So anybody who was there have any comments, changes, additions? No? All right, I'd like to make a motion that we approve the meeting minutes.
Okay.
All in favor? Okay. Still a lot of head nodding. Is anybody abstain or not? Okay. That was quick. Let's see here. Are there any late additions to the agenda for today? No. Okay. So I will give just a quick report from the chair. A couple of different things. The employee survey response team, we're no longer the rec teams. It didn't sound nice. So we're just going by effort. But the employee survey response team has been meeting, and we're actually collecting all the project implementation plans. And as you can see, committees are kind of moving along. The goal is for them to have kind of completed project plans for us. Okay. At the beginning of September, the goal would be that. For the president's address to staff in October, that we would use kind of where the committees are and updates as is kind of the basis for his speech. So that's kind of where we are. And I don't know if anybody, if we can just take a minute to talk about the president's address. Does anybody have any objection to us kind of using that as the main direction of his speech? Does anybody have anything else that they think we should really ask him to focus and talk about? At the moment, we have some time. We don't have to get him his kind of talking points until the beginning of September, but that's kind of where we're leading, mm-hmm. kind of an update on where we are with the survey. But if anybody else has anything else, just shoot me an email. The retreat, for those who couldn't be at the retreat 2 weeks ago, I think it went really well. We talked about quite a few things. Some of those things, let me get to those notes, were we created a list of employees that we wanted to bring into EA meetings to kind of talk with us, similar to what Kathy and Tim just did. People like Paul Bursick to talk about benefits. I've heard back from him. He's going to come to one of our October meetings, which we thought would be perfect timing since that'll be right before they launch the new benefits packages. So he'll be able to kind of give us some information on that and kind of prepare us for what's coming down the line. Also, Lynette Chappelle-Williams with the University Diversity Group will come in and talk about new destinations, and we're talking about that being a December meeting, but that hasn't been confirmed yet. And then Q to talk about new buildings, Gabriel from Faculty and Staff Assistance Program, so quite a few people to kind of come in, and we're working on dates for those. But if anyone who wasn't at the retreat has anyone else to add, just forward those along to me, and we'll try to get them scheduled with us. We also talked a little bit about Nancy, still with us?
Yep, I'm still here.
Good, because we talked a little bit about the paw print, and this idea of perhaps having a more consistent note from the EA or from the trustee in the paw print, and wondering if that's something that you would be open to.
Yes, because you used to have a column, actually, mm-hmm. and so that would make sense to have it as a column.
Okay. Is that something that came out in every paw print, or how did that work?
Let's see. It was when Dennis was the editor, and I think he had it. If not everyone, then you know, like, every other one, but it really wouldn't matter because we could put it on the web over in that column section where you have wellness, and sometimes we'll have the library and sometimes not. So it all depends whether we have something new or not, and then it's separated out and doesn't get lost, you know, among all the other stories.
Okay.
So yes, I'd be quite open to having that.
Okay, great, because Alan has committed to do something as trustee. And, you know, we would do something from the EA, you know, it could be me, it could be, you know, anyone else could be come from the communications, but somebody would kind of put something together for you.
Yeah, I think that would be great, and it would be great if we could do, like, a little headshot of the person,
yep.
too, so, yeah.
We can do that. So that was one of the things we talked about. We also talked about some more EA interaction with the Board of Trustees, so maybe when they're on campus in the fall, maybe try to see if we can have another interaction with them. And Alan and I are meeting next week, and we'll touch base about that as well. So that's kind of the highlights of the retreat. Oh, the other thing we talked about at the retreat is doing some open forums with some of the money that we have on the EA that we would go maybe to different places on campus and do a couple of open forums about different topics, and then invite kind of whoever would be the lead person on that topic to join us in the conversation with employees. That was the retreat. Just quickly, we did some George Peter Awards over the summer. We gave four of them, Cindy Glanville, Steve McKay, Mike Scavarla, and Miyoko Chu, all from different areas of campus, and they all went really well and were happily received, and so just another nice opportunity to get out there. So those are those things. Two other things that I want to throw out there is I've had a conversation with Jackie over in Mary's office about employee celebration. I know we did a table several years ago, which wasn't a huge hit, but they're asking if we're interested in doing something at this year's employee celebration, perhaps tied in with the survey response. So I just kind of want to throw out there what people might think about that, if it's something that we're interested in doing. It's on a Saturday in an evening. You know, we would want a couple people to commit to coming in and being involved, and maybe we would ask some of the rest team people to be involved as well, but it's more of just a showing type of thing as opposed to us having to do, you know, a talk or anything like that. Anybody interested in us pursuing that at all, or not really?
As far as me volunteering for it, I think that's on a weekend that usually has a conflict. It's in October or something. It's the best football game and all that.
It's the football game.
But maybe, because there's more than one, there's a winter one too.
Yeah, this would be the fall celebration. Mm-hmm. I think it's a fall and then a spring or a winter. I can't remember. There's one with the basketball game.
Mm-hmm.
But aside from volunteering, do you think it's a beneficial thing to do or not? Or I know. So employee celebration, folks come in, they eat, so it's kind of set up with a whole lot of tables.
There are other tables set up. It's not like there's
a yeah, there's a couple different tables set up with different things. There's not a lot of them. When we did it a couple years ago, there were maybe like a half a dozen tables. We had people come over to us mostly because we were giving away free water bottles more than anything.
But it's good exposure, even if you have balloons for the kids or something.
Right.
Like that.
So it is exposure. It could be something that we may want to say. We want to, again, pick up a little something to hand out that will draw people over and you know, maybe do some fact finding. But I don't want to do it if there's no one who's, if everyone says it's not a good idea to do.
It's a big event in Barton Hall, so you know, and there's a lot of other things going on.
I think it's a good idea. I'm going to be doing paw print there.
Okay.
Just again for the visibility.
Mm-hmm. I can put out to the whole group as well and see. I mean, I'm willing to be there and do whatever. I would. It's the 13th of October.
I think it's a great idea for visibility also.
Yeah. I mean, I would prefer not to do it by myself.
I think we should get everybody there, and then if we're just having a really good time and really, you know, partying enough, then it'll just attract everybody.
And
we'll have wine.
Do some dancing.
If we give away wine, I bet we'd have a lot of people at our at our booth. And then the other thing is they are looking for folks to sit on the planning committee, and is anybody interested in being on the event planning committee? Yes? Okay. Anybody else?
Has our committee been assigned yet?
We're going to talk about that.
Okay.
So, Bob, I'll pass along your name, and you'll probably get an email from Jackie. Okay. And then last thing, I'll just throw this out there. Linda's not here today, but Linda's forwarded an idea for a resolution to me that I just wanted to put out to the group. So the student assemblies the UA and the SA has put forth, and maybe Ned you can remind me, put forth a resolution in support of gender neutral bathrooms. So did the UA do that as well? Okay. In support of gender neutral bathrooms being part of new building plans and renovation plans. One of the things that Linda thinks would be really helpful to add to that is lactation rooms. Right now there's some on campus, but they're mostly kind of clustered in central campus. but in other places on campus, and she said that that might be a nice resolution to put forth from employees in the assembly. So I don't know if anybody has any thoughts on that, positive or negatively, or if it's something that we would consider. She'd kind of lead up the resolution on that.
Are those two things issues? I don't know.
Well, there's been a big push for students to have gender-neutral bathrooms so that there's not a designated women's room or men's room. So for people who, you know, maybe going through changes or things like that, wouldn't have to feel pressured to go one way or the other, that it didn't really matter. So that's something, and I don't know if Ned or Bridget, you want to, if you remember back from the spring semester.
Yes. Well, you basically covered it, that they doesn't want to have
gender neutral
bathrooms. It sounded like a really good idea. I do believe that it got passed,
mm-hmm.
but that would be only for new construction
or renovation projects that would be changing things. So the idea would be that we would add potentially something to that would say that, you know, new construction should also take into consideration that there are many, many working mothers on campus who, for example, if you work, like I work in College Town, the closest location for me to go if I needed that would be Day Hall. So I would have to walk across campus. And, you know, it would be nice if there were more places on campus mm-hmm. for working mothers to be able to take advantage of.
Yeah, we had someone in our building last year who there was no space for them, and so we basically set up in the accounting office and put a note on the door, room in use.
Right,
and
I think that happens. I think that happens all over campus, yeah. But I think it would be nice, and I think it would be very supportive of mm-hmm. an issue that may be important to female employees on campus.
I was under the assumption that, I was on the committee that did the new building at the vet school and things mm-hmm. like that. Any new building has to have electricity or renovation, because we just renovated our diagnostic lab before, and they had to put one in there too.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had to have one of the vet school, the diagnostic lab as well. So anything new is going up within a certain radius of each other.
Okay.
Okay.
So, I don't think they have a choice.
Okay. I'll see if I can find out more about that, because Linda in HR, she didn't, you know, she put this forward, and I would imagine that she would have known that. But
maybe it's already in code, or maybe she's worried about existing buildings making space.
But if it's not something that's already a requirement, are we open to adjusting something like that, or
absolutely.
Okay. All right. Then I will check in on that and bring it back to the group. Okay. Old business. I don't think we have any old business at the moment. So moving right on to new business. So committee charges. So Bridget, do you want to? Does everybody know what committees that they're on? Michelle shaking her head no.
No, I've got to talk to you about yours. I mean, the email you have not had time to. For the most part, I believe everybody has been assigned to committees, except for myself, who I need to talk to. Assigned to either A
to
or
they
two.
Their committee, whatever committee they're being assigned to.
Yeah. There may be a few that I'm still finalizing. I started to work on it the other night and then ran out of time and came back to work the next day and was going to work on it and got bombarded. So I have not gotten to it. I do want to announce, though, that there was a tremendous influx of staff volunteers this year for both the Staff Recognition and Awards Committee. We've got several people that volunteered. Communications Committee is like at maximum, I think, for the number of people they can have. I mean, we can always add more if we want to. And then Education Committee, we actually, I'm waiting for Ari to return from vacation so he can add me two more slots to the staffing system because we ran out of spaces.
That's great.
So that's fantastic news. So I think word is getting out that we are looking for people and that. So we need to continue with that.
So basically what I was hoping to do, and I don't know if people need to mull or think about this, but I don't like to see committees, at least our committees, formed without having some charge to move them forward for the year, because I don't want people to kind of waste their time. So I know LaVanya's here, and she chairs education. Jeannie's not here. She's chairing personnel policy. Communications, I think you've got a whole... You got plenty to do. You don't need a charge. But, LaVanya, are you kind of set with a charge for education? Do you know what you guys are going to work on?
Do you want me to give a brief?
Sure, if you can just share a very quick...
So, to recall what we did last year as part of the education committee, then we met four times for both the semesters, and our major point was about creating awareness that there was an education committee to be cheerleaders, and not in any way to replace the benefits committee, because we are not the formal source of information, although we are the cheerleaders. So we were focusing on where are the major information focus points, like is there a pool of resources that employees can be directed to if they are interested in education opportunities. We were brainstorming a lot of ideas. For example, just to give an example, where do employees go to check for discrepancies in tuition? Like if there is a discrepancy of taking a class in summer or fall, whom do they approach?
Mm-hmm.
Because that was an issue. We implemented the survey using Qualtrics. It was a simple survey targeted at candidates who graduated using the employee degree program at Cornell. We got a 71% response rate. Three major areas of focus were flexibility for taking classes, supervisory support, and the tax implications. So we have 100% retention in terms of past members. All of them want to come back. And along with me, we are going to be nine with
Great.
The addition of two other members.
Great.
So it's going to be a big team. This year, the first thing we are going to do is upload the survey results for transparency onto the website and focus on bringing in deliberate improvements in areas that were identified, the three areas, flexibility, supervisory support, and tax implications. And we had like an idea box when we last met. So as a no conflict interest group with benefits, just in incongruence with their activities, we would like to find out information from candidates who dropped out of the employee degree program, because that would give more information to future applicants. We were some of the survey respondents had been open to giving their emails. They did not want to be anonymous. I mean, they were open to guiding anybody who was interested. And we wanted to create an affinity group for employees taking classes or who would want to take classes, a list search to share info. We wanted to have education companies represent at SEED, which we have done. And a couple of other ideas, a lot of them. So we have this idea bar that we are planning to work on for next year.
Okay, so you've got something to move forward.
A lot.
Jeannie, as far as Personnel Policy Committee, said that they don't have kind of any plan at the moment. So if people can kind of percolate things that might be something the Personnel Policy Committee can work through, if you're hearing about things that might take last year. They took a look at the bereavement policy and how that works for employees. You know, is there another policy that we would want them to look at? So if anybody has any thoughts, you can throw them out, or we can talk about them at our next meeting when we've got Jeannie here.
Mm-hmm. Well, the one issue that I was hoping that we may be able to address is the way that personal time and sick time and family care is in separate buckets. And that, is there a way that maybe that could all be into one bucket?
That's already being looked at.
Okay, great.
So there is a committee at the university that is looking at that.
Okay, good.
And that might come to fruition. They're just not ready to kind of launch that out yet. But great. Soon, I think. Any other quick off the head thoughts for personnel committee? Well, if anybody thinks anything, let Jeannie know. But if they don't have anything to work on, then they will just kind of hover until we have something for them. Last bit of new business. So we at the moment have one MPEA seat. We do have a second seat that is currently occupied by an employee who has not been present or participative in our meetings. I have found out that he may soon potentially be able to participate, so that's not set in stone yet, and I don't really have all the specifics. So I'd like to kind of hold off on opening up that seat to give him an opportunity to kind of get back into the swing of things and become a participating member since he ran. But we do have one open seat, and we do have three candidates, two of whom could be here with us today. So I wanted to give them an opportunity to kind of just talk through why they want to be on the EA, and they, everybody's gotten all of their profiles, and then you've got the profile of the third person who couldn't be here. Now, Amy, do we need a majority? Do we need two-thirds, or can we vote by majority, or do you know?
We need two-thirds
of the
total
seats,
or
two-thirds?
To
do a two-thirds of total seats
to vote today? Do we not raise that?
Yeah, I don't think we can vote. Well, I don't think we can vote. I think we need two-thirds of people, seated people, to vote.
Right,
so we can't.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't wrong. So since they've joined us today, we can let these guys talk a little bit, and we'll have to kind of table our vote, unfortunately. But since you're here, do you want to chat or talk? This is Greg, and this is Nancy. Greg, do you want to start off? Or?
I'm Greg Medley. I'll stay seated if that's right for everyone.
Sure.
I work over at the Sailor Hotel. I'm the director of food and beverage over there. I've worked for now for going about 17 months now. Love every minute that I've been back in Ithaca. I graduated from the hotel school as part of the collaborative degree program between the Culinary Institute of America and the hotel school. So I spent 3 years here as an undergraduate. Worked in Los Angeles for a little bit before I decided to come back to Ithaca and Cornell. I think I maybe met some of you when I was running for the employee trustee seat. Had some great competition, you know, really ran against some great people. I think Alan's the right guy for the job and in a good spot and will really help kind of advance the employees forward, which I think is great. I don't come with any major agenda or cause or purpose. Rather than I love Cornell and I'm excited about making it the best place to study, to work, to do all those sorts of things. So my interests come more in giving back and engaging and getting involved rather than trying to cure or fix something. I think that this is a good opportunity for people to come who are more relatively neutral and hear and listen and then react and act or be proactive on things that they think might be coming up. So that's kind of the approach that I have. You know, I don't have a list of, you know, I want to do this, I want to do that. I just want to engage and I want to make sure the employees feel represented and know who to go to. And then really just try to make this the best Cornell we can. That's really kind of my purpose because I'm involved from many different avenues. So that's a little bit about me. I've got a lot of different board experiences and I was very involved as an undergraduate student assembly. I had an executive committee role in that as vice president of finance. So I come with knowledge of how the university and the kind of the administrative structure works. So I'm new to Cornell, but I'm not new to kind of the big picture Cornell, which I've tried to stay actively involved in since being an undergraduate. So that's a little bit about me.
Does anybody have any questions for Greg? We're a quiet group today.
Okay.
Nancy, you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
I don't need to really.
Sorry, Nancy.
We are starting up Paw Print for the August 24th, so it looks like we will, for at least the immediate future, be having our deadlines not fall on the same day that the EA meetings are. So hopefully I'll be able to get to more of those this semester, and certainly I'm looking forward to getting word out about the EA and what's up any way I can.
Thanks, Nancy. So, Nancy Bell, you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes. Oh, sorry.
That's okay. That's all right. That's all right, Nancy. I'm glad that you're going to be with us.
Thank you. So, hi, everybody. So, I work right now at the Dyson School. I am from Honduras, and I came here to get my undergrad degree. And I actually work, you know, at the school where I got my bachelor's, which has been a great opportunity for me. I'm the president of the social committee there, which is, we actually just started this in February. And our goal is to, like, definitely get, you know, staff recognition and motivation, definitely get people pumped about, you know, the work, you know, coming every day to work to be fun. Yes, because as some of you might know, you know, the Dyson School is in Warren Hall, and we're going through a lot of renovation, and everybody's into closer spaces, and you deal with a lot of tension and a lot of stress, so we're trying to help people feel better about it. And I also work on seminars in the Dyson School. We do a lot of events, you know, for students to get them involved. And, you know, I definitely love to get involved and learn more about Cornell. I'm trying to definitely, there's a lot of things that I've been doing just in my current job to help people, you know, a lot of the things that you guys mentioned about, like, the, you know, you see people with different work overload, you know, someone is really busy, someone else has nothing to do, and it's definitely, it all resonates with all things that we're dealing with. I definitely would love to be part of the solution, help people definitely feel better about their job. And I don't know if you guys have any questions for me.
Okay, well, thank you guys. Like I said, we unfortunately can't vote today because we don't have enough of our membership here, so we'll have to do that at our next meeting. I apologize. The start of the semester is always it's hard for folks to kind of get here. So if no one has any questions for these guys, do we want to have a few minutes to discuss our three candidates, or do we want to wait till our next meeting?
If we can get the third to speak as well,
yep,
before we make
yeah
a decision.
Okay.
It's the only fair, I think.
Yep, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yep. So, and he knew he couldn't be here, and we were just going to kind of put out his stuff, you know, in the event that we could vote. But I can certainly invite him to the next meeting. And so sorry?
Yes, he's doing RA training.
RA training.
Yeah.
Okay.
He has agreed, though, to serve on one of the student assembly committees.
Yeah, I think he came, didn't he come through
rep.
as a committee member? Yep. Okay.
When are you going to find out about that third position, or that second opening possibility?
I'm hopeful for our next meeting.
That would be good to vote then, anyway.
Yeah.
So you know if there's one or two spots.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
If we can't do it at the next meeting, what I would have the group do is to vote on a first and a second, and then we wouldn't have to do another
okay
set of votes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Does anybody else have anything else for the meeting today?
Nope, I move that we adjourn.
All in favor? Oh, actually, second. Sorry, all in favor? Great. Thank you, guys.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.